Hi, welcome to the you have a little piece of food on your teeth. Right over. No, move your tongue over a little bit more. Yeah, no. It's like a piece of spinach or something. Yeah, right. It's on the top. It's on the top row of your teeth, over to the other side. Yeah, no, get it. Put your tongue in it. It's still there. It's still there. It's a little bit closer to the tooth, just to the right of the. No, you got it. No, you don't have it. Come on. Here, try, get a toothpick. Do you have a toothpick? All right, you can, all right, use, all right, well, bend the paper clip open. That's right. Now, pick at it. It's right over, a little higher, oh, no, now you're bleeding. Now your gums are bleeding. All right, could you just please?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
You almost got it. No, right over.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
All right, you got it. Okay, you got
Whatever.
It. Now rinse and spit. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the,
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. I am the person that she said I was. Really, I am. It's me. Hi. Thank you for joining me today, as I hope you do every weekday. Because that would be really nice of you. If you could just do one good deed for somebody every day, it should be me. Let's face it. Come on, who are we kidding? I'm so in need of some stability in my life. My home life is pretty good. It's good. My family life, it's good. It's just that when I go beyond that, everything seems to fall apart. I need some stability in my government, in my overseeing political thing, and it's just awful. Yesterday, Donald Trump actually went out on the road and held a rally as if he was still running for president, and I can't figure this guy out. Excuse me, may I tap you on the shoulder? Where you have some of that orange makeup getting on your shoulder there on your suit jacket. May I just remind you, you are already the president. You don't have to battle everything and be such a baby about it and accuse things. Just chill, man. Just chill. So he goes to do this rally, and it's all like the people that love him, you know, the ones where he could shoot somebody in the middle of Manhattan and he wouldn't lose any supporters. It's those people. And they're actually holding up signs in the audience that say Trump, Pence, and their campaign signs. And it's just like, am I looking at a video that was shot like a year ago? No, it was from yesterday. What the hell's going on? Is there some kind of a time warp? Or people that, why are you holding up campaign signs? And why is Trump standing at the podium yelling and making accusations and yelling at people and screaming as if he doesn't have the job yet? What the hell's wrong with you? something's amiss. And I think it's the sanity of everybody around me. I think that's what is amiss. I know what amiss is. Amiss is someone that's not married, apparently. What's going on? I'm wiping my nose, okay? All right, fine. I'm wiping my nose. I admit it. I'm wiping my nose because it's got a little allergies. I do this very early in the morning. And when I get up, I have the sniffles. And I have a cup of iced coffee because I can't stand hot coffee anymore. Hot bean stuff doesn't make it for me. Cold bean stuff does. So, that's good. Actually, it's not good. It's horrible. If I didn't put milk and a little bit of sugar in it, it would be horrible. So, I don't even understand that, much less the government. So anyway, so here's what I miss. Here's what I miss, and here's why I've been spoiled. And I'm not speaking for everybody. I know that I'm not. I get that. I get it. If you have a political opinion, or you must understand something. Not everybody feels the way you do. No matter which side of the fence you may be on, not everybody feels the way that you do. And we're all very vehement about the way we feel these days. And there are many reasons for that, for which I shall get into momentarily. Too bad I'm not selling a book. Sounds like I am, doesn't it? But I'm not. Not yet. President Obama, Barack as I called him, Barry, he was cool. He was so cool. He was a skinny Barry White. He was just so cool. If it rained outside, the water would just drip off his clothes and wouldn't even stick to him. He was so cool. If there were probably a nuclear war, he'd say, "Don't worry about it. We'll take care of it. We got it under control." It's just so freaking cool. He did his whole job in the White House for 8 years, snapping his fingers to some jazz tunes. I swear he did. And then he would go upstairs and have wild, passionate sex with his hot wife. Now, Donald Trump has a hot wife, but I don't think I want to have sex with her. No, you know, she's just like a trinket that you buy overseas and you put it on a pedestal and you display it on the China cabinet. That's all she is to me. That's all she is to me. Michelle Obama, that's a wife. That's a wife. Stands behind her man, stands in front of her man many times, takes the bullet for him. Smart, intelligent, educated, just when she talks, engaging, attractive. They were the couple, man. Who wouldn't want to have them over for dinner? Republicans. Other than that, who wouldn't? He was so freaking cool. So you know what it is? I miss cool, because cool was replaced by angry, immature schoolboy who doesn't know how to speak. Obama, great orator, wonderful speeches, whether you agreed with him or not, man knew how to talk, man knew how to do it. Then you got this orange face, Oompa Loompa, and you get a kid that doesn't know it's his locker combination. I mean, he's just, who screams, gets angry, pushes kids down. It's the opposite. I think it's the shock of the opposite that was the problem. It's the shock of the opposite. And before, it seemed like the country was like pretty okay with everything. I mean, they were always out for Obama to destroy him and stuff. And politically, they wouldn't let him do anything and vice versa, I guess. You know, but that's the whole system. It's not the people. It's the whole system. It's just the whole system would rather see the other party go down in flames than to make the country better. That's the thesis. That's the deal. Would rather destroy the other party than have the country be better off. That's, you know, that's very selfish, very, very selfish. And that's where we're still at, multiplied by 5,000. During the campaign, Donald, what's his last name? Orange-faced douchebag, I call him. And I know that's disrespectful, but I haven't seen this guy respect anybody himself. So why should I play the respect game? He don't play it. Why should I? Schoolyard rules? Let's go at it. Come on. Let's go. Let's dance. During the campaign, he says that he is the great negotiator. He is the great deal maker. That's what he does. He does it better than anybody else. Guess what? He ain't doing it. He's not showing his skills in bringing people together and negotiating and making great deals. Instead, if you don't see it his way, then screw you, you're fat, you're stupid, and somewhat demented. That's the way he does things. That's not what he said he did, but this is what he's doing. His budget is absolutely absurd, and even the Republicans, his own people, quote-unquote, think it's absurd. His travel ban didn't work the first time, apparently has just been shot down again, isn't working the second time. Healthcare, he thought he could just write the damn thing on the back of a napkin and everything would be fine. That's getting a lot of commentary and criticism from his own people. There's no negotiating, there's no deal. If you don't go his way, he will malign you and curse at you and get angry. And his face actually goes from orange to red, which is the same code that Homeland Security uses for various alert systems. His new budget is scary. He is going to cut the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, drastically. That agency will have some of the largest cuts. Social programs to help the poor, they will be cut drastically as well. So if you were a poor Republican that was struggling to make ends meet, you're going to struggle a whole lot more pretty soon, apparently, thanks to the guy you voted for. That didn't work out, did it? Oh, well, lesson learned. What are you going to do? Almost all of the world is concerned about climate change. I don't know what you want to call it, global warming, whatever, climate change, whatever the case may be. The fact is, the scientific fact from just about every scientist, and I can't name them, and I don't have their names in front of me. If we don't do something about this now as a globe, as an Earth, it ain't going to be around. It'll be around. It just won't be too livable anymore. The storms will be more intense. The polar ice caps will melt. The seas will rise. Beachfront property will be underwater, et cetera, et cetera. Some people think these are scare tactics. Other people say, no, we are ruining this home that we have. And, of course, we'll be dying before that even happens to us. It's just the future generations probably won't be living very long. So that's important. There are certain animals and species and bees and coral reefs that are totally vanishing. And it's part of our ecosystem, and yet it's vanishing. And this is a president who says, how can there be global warming? It's so cold outside. That's the mentality of a peanut. But you voted him in, some of you, not half the country. Well, maybe half the country if you want to play around with the, 3 million more votes to the Democrats, popular vote-wise. But, of course, all 3 million were all illegal, according to, you know. Hey, again, I'll remind you, you won the election. You don't have to go after them anymore. It's so stupid. I can't believe it. All right, that's enough about him. I usually start off the show about him, and then I get on to other things that make things a little bit lighter, because he's not the beginning and end of everything. He thinks he is, but he's not. So let's continue. I should get an award for doing this. I really should.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself. He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
It is actually kind of cute, to be honest with you. I am, in a very odd sense, I am very cute. We are very conscious here of the environment, and that's just the way we are. We are very conscious of human beings and the well-being of them, and we are going in that direction, and I hope that you follow us.
Hello, I'm Ed Begley Jr., and wherever you call home, the sounds of wildlife connect you with a greater family of life. That's why you shudder each time you see woods, marshes, meadows, or grasslands being destroyed. You know that countless birds and other wild animals are losing their homes, the greatest threat to their survival. Among the growing number of threats to wildlife, habitat loss is the most devastating. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust offers a humane solution, working with private landowners to protect habitat as permanent safe havens for wildlife. When you hear the familiar wild voices you love, remember, your voice is the one that can speak for wildlife and for the land they call home, ensuring that it stays forever wild. To learn more, to work with the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, visit wildlifelandtrust.org.
Hey, you are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for doing so. I do appreciate it. I do this every single weekday, unless it's Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving, in which case I may do it. I may not. Probably not. Hey, I want to alert you to an event that's coming up. It's on Wednesday, March 22nd at the Massasoit Conference Center in Brockton, Massachusetts, which is about halfway between Boston and Providence. So it's a wide swath of people. At this event, the 25th Annual Taste of Metro South, on Wednesday, March 22nd, there are over 40 area restaurants and food vendors who will be setting up in a large ballroom. What you do is you pay one admission price, you walk into the place, and you just eat your face off, man. You eat till you can't eat no more. And we're talking about entrees, desserts, gourmet delicacies, appetizers, you name it, craft beers. I mean, and if you like something from one location, booth, table, you go back and you have more. I mean, it's just incredible. This is Wednesday, March 22nd at the Massasoit Conference Center in Brockton, Massachusetts. Tickets will be they're available now, but they will be sold out, so get them really fast. I will be there with Tori Lagarde, who does a show with me every once in a while. Once a week. We'll be doing a live podcast from the event, so come over, say hello to us as well. Now, how do you get tickets? Well, I gotta tell you, you can go online, go to MetroSouthTaste.com, MetroSouthTaste.com, or you can call them at 508-586-0500, 508-586-0500, and get your tickets. There'll be free giveaways and all that kind of stuff, and a lot of businesses in the area, including New England Broadcasting. So, come on down Wednesday, March 22nd. Will you do that for me? I don't care. Be nice. Nice to see you. No touching, though. No touching! Believe in feng shui? I don't know what that is either. I think it depends. It's taking your room and decorating it so you're facing in the right direction and you have certain things in the room placed in certain locations in order to give you spiritual support. I have no idea. I don't really get into that stuff, to be honest with you, which is probably why I don't move forward in this lifetime. I don't believe in horoscopes or horror films or anything like that or anything. I don't believe in anything. So every once in a while, some of my listeners listen to the astrology thing and they want to know what's happening with their sign. I don't understand that whole thing, but if you're into the signs, well, here's your man.
Greetings, fellow planet travelers. Kip Starchild here with your horoscopescape for the month. Let's see what the stars have in store for you. Aquarius, there are just two words for your month ahead: regrettable tattoos. Pisces, remember that when one door closes, another one opens. Usually. You probably shouldn't stand around waiting. You could try knocking politely, but... yeah. Aries, no one wants to get hit by falling space junk, but you should probably get used to the idea. Taurus, new friends and a new outlook on life are coming your way, thanks to a blow to the skull and subsequent amnesia. Gemini, get out of that bad relationship you're in, because the bad part? Yeah, that would be you. Cancer, keep in mind that naked midnight spearfishing during a thunderstorm only sounds like a good idea when you're really drunk and should probably be taken home instead. Leo, here are your two words for the month: lengthy trial. Oh, and two more: concurrent sentences. Virgo, just when it looks like things are about as bad as it gets, get ready to discover that you are wrong. Libra, a modeling opportunity is coming your way this month. Looks like you'll be the before picture for either weight loss or hair restoration or toe fungus removal. Possibly all three. Scorpio, change your travel plans soon. The stars are a little clear on exactly why, but apparently everyone in Taiwan hates you. Sagittarius, you're going viral this month, but a hearty dose of antibiotics should clear that right up in no time. Capricorn, you will soon hear from an old flame. Considering your track record, it will probably be about bail money or muling one more load of coke over the border, but just see where that goes. Why not? That's your horoscopescape for the month. I'm Kip Starchild. Until next time, peace.
In our society, relationships are key because no one wants to go through this life by themselves. And if you're not married or have a significant boyfriend or girlfriend, you usually have friends that surround you. Or you're like me, you prefer just to have everybody stay the hell away from you. Well, one way or the other, it's relationships that we always seem to be concerned about. Perhaps it's because we need the sex. I don't know. I don't know why. But there are situations where we can go to the extreme. And we're going to talk to an expert about that today. But first, this one of my favorite commercials. This is a real commercial about a lawyer he's a divorce attorney. And this is an actual commercial that has actually aired. It's one of my favorites.
Hi, I'm Steve Miller. I've been a trial lawyer in Florida and Massachusetts since 1985. If you and your spouse hate each other like poison and want to get out of the hellhole you call a marriage, you've come to the right place. Look, you can waste your money screwing around with some paper pusher paralegal type, give thousands of dollars to some piece of crap three-piece suit downtown, blow your brains out trying to figure out why you wasted 25 bucks on the crappy forms you bought from the illiterate boob at the courthouse, or do what I say and do it now. We know what we're doing here. Look at this website, a work of art. Here's the story. Pay us a little and we get you a lot. Don't worry about the details. We'll take care of business and let you know when to crack open the champagne. Okay, time to move on. Go to the Get the Divorce page in the upper right corner, pay up, and you're on your way to getting rid of that vermin you call a spouse. We're here to help. Divorce EZ, a Florida law firm.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head?
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you. Nika Kaberi is a relationship expert. You're a psychologist?
I'm a sociologist, social scientist.
Okay, same thing to me. Maybe different letters, but same thing to me. Okay. I know that a relationship study was done, and you know, this is a topic that sometimes it's talked about a lot, sometimes not a lot, but it's always at the forefront of everybody's mind. Where do we stand on relationships today?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. We could be in a really huge state of transition. You know, it used to be that people would enter relationships and get married because it's something you had to do. But, you know, of course, more and more we see people who are doing it for happiness. If they're not happy, they'll bail out. But also younger people are more likely to say that they'll partner up in order mm-hmm. to fulfill their own individual dreams. So there's mm-hmm. kind of an individualistic component that's kind of emerging from relationships.
Interesting. And of course, it's springtime, so people think about this all of a sudden. You want to get out, and you want to be with people, and you want to form relationships. Kind of, what is it about spring that brings this mindset on all of a sudden?
Well, you know, there are a lot of theories out there, and there's a lot of research out there on the effects of just the weather on how people interact and engage. But it's, you know, Valentine's Day just kind of wrapped up not too long ago. Love is kind of on people's minds. And, you know, one thing that they're doing a lot of is also just dating online, which doesn't require getting out at all. Just you can do it in your pajamas sitting on the couch.
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up back in the days of Ben Franklin, we went to bars and parties and we went to dances and what they called mixers. And I don't know if they even have those things anymore. It's all turned technological. And now with this countrywide not trusting people, has this entered into relationships, that the technology of relationships, has it made it tougher or easier or more skeptical? What?
Yeah, you know, it's a really interesting area of to think about, because it's, you know, everything that you do online is all about convenience. It's why people grocery shop online. It's why people do a ton of other things. And dating is really no different. You can just sift through a ton of people, which makes it sound kind of unromantic, but it makes it a lot easier. There are safety issues involved, of course, and women are more interested in that, worried about that than men. Uh-huh. But like half of people who've tried online dating say it's fun. Over half say, about 6 out of 10 say it's a really great way to find a meaningful relationship. And there's a lot of hope in that. So even though it seems kind of unromantic and it seems really kind of, you know, just impersonal, people think about it as a real tool that can really potentially help them find love.
For sure. I do wedding videos on the side, and I'd say over 50% of the weddings I've done within the past 5 years they've met online, oddly enough.
That's really high. Yeah, we found that when we asked married people and people in relationships, 15% said that they found their partner online. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of hope out there.
Gross.
It's a good reason.
Yeah. At the same time, though, when you meet somebody in a social situation, you can tell immediately whether they're jerks or not. Online, it takes a long time to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, I recently tried online dating, and so this isn't part of the research, but this is my personal research. Yeah. You can still sift out those quote unquote jerks. You just have to do a little bit of vetting online, which makes it kind of easier with messaging and all of that. So you don't have to really meet them yet to kind of figure out what they're about.
I guess you can do background checks, I guess, which is
you can do that too. I've never tried it, but you can do that too. Yeah.
It's awfully cold, but I guess it saves some problems in the future. Now, what about people that have ended relationships? Divorce rate is still rather high in this country, as I understand it.
Yeah, it's high. And, you know, we asked people who were married and not, you know, necessarily divorcing, we asked them, like, whether they were thinking about it. And About 18% of married people are saying, yeah, they're kind of, sure, to some extent, thinking about divorcing. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to do it,
right,
but that's kind of, to me, it sounds like a high proportion of people who are thinking about leaving their partner. Some of the big reasons have to do with, housework and money. If the woman is making, is bringing in a lot of money, she's working and the husband's working, but she's still doing most of the housework. A lot of research out there has shown that that could be a trigger for divorce.
Yeah.
And, most people wouldn't want to marry someone who would make them do most of the housework. So
yeah,
take out the trash.
Wow. So what else did the survey come up with that is, shocking?
Yeah. So one thing that's really shocking is the number of divorced single people who aren't really out there looking.
Oh.
Of all the people who are out there who are divorced and single, only 1 in 5 are currently trying to look for a romantic partner and date. So there are quite a few, divorcees or single divorced people out there who are just kind of coasting along and happy being alone, and most of them are women. That was really interesting.
Okay.
And about 14% of all divorced single people are dating online.
So maybe they're not looking for serious relationships, but are they out having fun, or they actually avoid that interaction?
Yeah, they're just not even trying.
Wow.
They might be, they might run across somebody that would interest them, but they're telling us they're not really even trying to date. If they do go out, it's probably with their friends, just to have fun, stuff like that.
Yeah. And do you read that into that as I don't want to be hurt again?
I have to say there's some of that, but also I think there's a lot of self-exploration that comes from being divorced. I think when you spend, especially if you've been married for quite a while and you've wrapped your identity up in another person,
yeah,
I think it does take quite a bit of alone time to kind of explore who you are and kind of enjoy your individuality.
Yeah.
Most people will say they'd rather be alone and happy than with somebody and unhappy. And I think, there's this fear of getting hurt, that they might be unhappy again if they're with somebody else. But then there's also this pull of, I can find happiness being alone. I can find happiness being single. I don't really need to rush into a relationship. It's not the answer to my angst or my ills.
Yeah. Do you think that would be to people that got married like at a very early age and didn't experience that freedom previously, perhaps?
Yeah, probably that, and also people who have been married for a long time. Because I think the longer you're married, the more you start to become, wrapped up. Your identity becomes wrapped up in the marriage.
Yeah.
And this is just, this is true of anything. The more you interact with a particular person, the more intense that interaction is, the more likely you're going to see yourself in terms of that interaction. So if you're married, you're seeing your spouse every day, you see them in an intense way, you engage with them in an intense way, that becomes the center of your own, that becomes part of who you are.
Right.
So you do that for a long time. It's kind of hard to figure out, where you end and where the relationship begins.
Is there a message that you personally would have with your background and expertise here to people who were seeking relationships? Any advice?
One thing that I would really recommend is make sure that you have your all of your affairs in order. For instance, I think one thing that came out of this study is that people who are in a lot of debt would have a harder time finding a spouse. So, get your finances in order. But also just, figure out who you are. Most divorces, the divorce rate is really highest among younger Americans, younger married Americans. Younger married people in this country are also more likely to consider divorcing. So just take your time to figure things out. Don't rush into anything.
Okay. How do we find out more about the study itself?
Great. You can go to avvo.com. That's AVVO.com. There are a ton of resources on there for, family planning or prenups or divorce, and other legal issues as well. And you can also check out our Avvo Stories blog. That's Avvo Stories, and you can read about our relationship study quite a bit there.
Very cool. Nika, good conversation. I appreciate it.
Oh, great. It was great to be on with you, and I hope to come back again.
Wonderful. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Technology moves at the speed of innovation. And today, That's lightning fast. So when you get your hands on the latest tech, don't forget to do the right thing with your old devices. Recycle them. The Consumer Technology Association and its members are making recycling your old tech device as easy as purchasing new ones. Just go to greenergadgets.org, type in your zip code, and you'll instantly find the responsible recycling location closest to your home. You'll also find lots of tips to simplify your recycling, like asking the store where you buy your new TV if they'll haul away your old one. Television sets, video game consoles, smartphones, tablets. They're all recyclable. Don't let them clog up your local landfill. Just visit greenergadgets.org. You're sharp enough to get the latest tech tools into your home. Now be responsible enough to get your old devices to the recycler. That's greenergadgets.org.
You know, it's odd. I've never felt more of a divide in this country than I do now, and I've been alive for a long time. I remember when Benjamin Franklin was flying the kite. I kept saying, "Ben, come inside. There's a storm outside. Come in. You're going to get hurt." Ben never came in, and where is Ben now? Dead. So there you go. I've never seen such division. It is almost to the point where I think there should be two countries here. Maybe Canada's got the right idea. They're trying to divide up like some type of freaked out amoeba. But it's probably true. We should have two different countries. The countries that exist north of the Mason-Dixon line, the states that exist north of the Mason-Dixon line, and the states that exist south of the Mason-Dixon line. There seems to be a political divide there. Between right and left. It's not really right and left. It's top and bottom. Red states, blue states. Sounds like a Dr. Seuss book, doesn't it? But it's kind of true. I guess you might say, hey, Ron, Civil War, remember that? Yeah, I do. Rather violent. A lot of people died for like what? You know, like what? What did that end up as? It's horrible. But there should be some type of division, perhaps. Maybe we've come to that. Maybe we are so, everybody would be happy. But you have a rule. You can't have war. You can't hurt each other. You can't hit each other. But we can have a separate set of rules for the top half and a separate set of rules for the bottom half. And that Mason-Dixon line, put up your wall there. By the way, speaking of walls, this orange president guy, he actually is going to put in the budget, the upcoming budget, he's going to have the taxpayers pay for the down payment on the construction of the wall. I thought Mexico was paying for this like entirely. It wasn't going to cost the taxpayers one dime. In this budget proposal, Trump is actually saying the down payment, we'll get it from taxes. Did you say Texas? No, from taxes. We'll tax the American people to build the wall, especially for the down payment. You said you weren't going to do that. I think very slowly he's going to start to piss people off. And then when they defy him or say something against him, then he'll fat shame you. And he'll end up pissing everybody off except for his customer base. These are the people, again, who say it's okay if you shoot somebody in broad daylight in Manhattan, it's all right. it's okay. I can turn my back on that. You know, that's not so bad. Those people he'll never piss off. These are the people that actually bought his ties. The ties that were made in China or overseas, at least, that weren't even manufactured in the United States. Trump's ties. I don't understand you people. I kind of don't. There's some type of a, I think what happened with the past election, you had such an incredible hatred of Hillary Clinton and you connected her to Barack Obama, and during the entire eight years of Barack Obama's presidency, those of you that just hated his guts, and I don't know the reason for it, because of his policies, because he was too cool for you, because he was black. I mean, I'm serious. A lot of people felt that way, I think. You kept that chip on your shoulder, but you kept it quiet. And then when this donkey came out here, this Trump guy, Trump taught everybody, whatever you feel, blast it out and do it hard and do it angry. That's what he did. That's what he brought out in the American people and in his customer base. And then they started, that's what happened. This is how this started unraveling. Very dangerous thing, getting people all riled up and angry and then acting angry and violent and vindictive yourself as a president, screaming out things and making things up and making accusations and destroying people's reputations and revenge. This is the guy sitting in the White House. If that doesn't make your ass vibrate, I don't know what does. I'm out of time for today, ladies and gentlemen, but I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. I really do.